if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, is it me you're looking for? Welcome to BRB UK episode 345. That is an in-joke from when we started recording, before we recorded rather, so that makes no sense to you whatsoever. But anyway, it's a Lionel Richie lyric for you. I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts. Hello, welcome to the show. And I'm joined, as ever, by Mr. November. Say hello, Mr. November.
Hello, Mr. November. Also, yeah, telling people about in-jokes is definitely the best thing to do as an intro for a podcast.
And a man who's going to see Lionel Richie supporting Stevie Wonder, which made me ask him, please tell me they're going to duet Hello, Is It Me You're Looking For? Because it would be totally inappropriate. It's Coleman!
Hi! The best jokes are the ones you have to explain.
The ones we explain along the way.
They are. Everyone knows that they're twice as funny because you have to hear them twice. Everyone knows that.
Ah, it's good that. I like that.
How do, anyway?
Been busy?
Good. Me too. Just while I wasn't here last week. Apologies, listeners.
Excellent. Excellent. Not that you're away, that you're busy. You know, you're knuckling down, earning that cheddar.
Mate, you know, this new job I got, it's keeping me a bit busy. Turns out.
Yeah.
Yes. Quite a bit harder than I expected. That's good. It's good. I'm learning. But, turns out I'm not as much of a sequel ninja as I thought I was.
See, when you guys are busy, that's bad for you. When I'm busy, that's generally good for me.
Yeah.
So benefits of being, you know, self-employed-ish.
When I'm busy, it's bad for Big Red Barrel because it means I haven't got time to get stuff done.
So anyway, it's a show. Let's do a show, I suppose, since it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Why? I have a question.
Yep. Oh, no.
Okay. Why the snot is all of our news sponsored by Pokemon?
Because, Dan, there was a Pokemon 2019 press conference.
You know that's on the list of things I don't give a flying sh** about.
But some people do, and it's quite... I actually found some of this interesting, if not for the headlines only in some cases. But it's fairly quick news, even though it's quite long.
Okay, so it was a Pokemon 2019 press conference where Detective Pikachu, the game, not the movie, was announced on Nintendo Switch. This is a very interesting headline. Please tell me more about it.
So this is a sort of semi-port of the Nintendo 3DS version of the game. It'll be up-res and lovely, made for a Nintendo Switch, but as well. Apparently the conclusion... I don't know because I didn't play that version of the game, The ending of the game had a cliffhanger storyline that was going to go into the sequel, but instead...
No. I know what it is. It cut to black on Pika, and what the big reveal is going to be is he's going to say Chew. That's what I think it's going to be.
I think it was Pikachu and Ash were in the cafe, and then the guy went off into the toilet, and it started playing Journey, and then it just went black screen.
Oh.
Cool. I spoiled a TV show there. I won't tell you what one. Anyway.
Okay.
The Detective Pikachu. It's quite popular at the moment because there's a movie about the game. Well, a movie based on the game. Don't know if you've heard about it. They've been pretty under the radar on their release.
It's been very, very quiet. I just think it's a good thing because it's not the nightmare fuel that Sonic was.
I mean, it looks like a Pikachu from what I can tell in the advertising.
It does.
Material.
It looks like quite a lovable Pikachu, to be fair.
And they set up a pop-up store in Soho at some point in the last couple of weeks, I think. And you could go take photos of a life-sized, furry-looking Pikachu. That was quite nice.
Also, incidentally, Paul, who I interviewed just after he did some work on Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and he was doing some of the special effects on Detective Pikachu and was particularly proud of his Charizard scene. There you go.
I believe he had to do 20,000 of Pikachu's furs.
Quite possibly.
All individually animated, rendered correctly. Very impressive work, I thought. But yeah, anyway, this is a version of the game, and instead of that cliffhanger storyline, there'll be now a conclusion added on to the end as well. So if you wanted to play Detective Pikachu but thought, hey, I don't play the 3DS anymore because Switch is a thing, mofos, now's your chance.
Okay. Everyone knows that's what all the cool kids say.
That's what they say. What they also say is, hey, bro, how about we go play some of that Pokemon?
No, I think you'll find they start it with Wazza. Wazza is what they do, is how they start, because they're very cool.
Playing some Pokemans on the mobile phone, which, you know, I've tend to do with my Pokemon Go. There is a new mobile Pokemon game which will line up with the other Pokemon, other Nintendo mobile releases, called Pokemon Masters, and it's the idea where you can play an RPG and you get to battle alongside and against your
Roger
favorite
Federer.
No, Pokemon trainers, as in like Misty
Tiger
and
Woods.
Brock and Lieutenant Surge and other characters from the Pokemon universe. Clearly, I just know the ones from the first game.
I'm sorry. Lieutenant Surge sounds like a porn star.
He is.
And we'll leave it there. Flex for a kids' TV show, but I mean, okay.
Well, you don't play Pokemon, so you don't know. You just have to go with it.
I was too old.
There you go.
I was too old for it.
There you go.
Has to believe whatever you say about Pokemon.
Exactly.
Okay, tell me another fact about Pokemon.
Tell me another interesting Pokemon fact.
Can I tell you a real one?
No.
Don't we play real fact, fake fact?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, that's good.
All right, okay.
The character Jigglypuff, mm-hmm. after singing people to sleep, tends to draw on their faces when they're asleep.
That is a real Pokemon fact.
Okay. The Pokemon Cubone...
Was that correct or not?
That is correct. Sorry.
Thank you.
Pokemon Cubone, who wears a skull over his head, is mm-hmm. actually wearing the hollowed-out skull of its deceased mother.
I think that's true.
That is true. Pokemon is a messed-up game sometimes.
Why doesn't he have his own skull?
Well, he wears it as like a little protective helmet.
And you can wear your own skull as a helmet. I mean, I know you're the doctor in this situation, Dan. But...
Because what he would have done, because of the anatomy of it, he would have actually had to have, you know, removed the head from his mother's body.
Yep.
Scoop out the inside. You know,
delicious insides.
The delicious, tasty insides of his mother's skull after ripping off the bottom of the skull to make an orifice large enough to shove his head into. That is really messed up.
The Pokemon Farfetch'd, which is a kind of duck bird type Pokemon, is apparently, it's said to be very delicious when boiled with I think it's spring onion.
Are we still playing real or fake?
No, I'll let you decide. Pokemon Farfetch'd tends to carry a spring onion as a weapon, which if you defeat and eat, I assume you can boil it with that said spring
onion.
That
is a false fact.
That is true. Okay. 3-3.
Excellent.
Anyway, Pokemon Company and
no
DNA...
Collusion. No collusion.
Pokemon
no
Company
fake
and...
news here.
Pokemon Company and DNA, they're going to be the developers of this game. DNA also worked on Super Mario Run and the not very good Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Mm-hmm. If you want more information, it's going to be released in June, but we do know that the title is going to come out on iOS and Android devices, because all mobile games come out on Android and iOS devices.
Yes.
Yes, but it's meant to be a casual but uniquely Pokemon-like experience.
Now, this next one's a bit weird.
Yep.
Yep.
Right. Pokemon
so,
Sleep.
It's a bit strange.
So, before we get to Pokemon Sleep, there's the announcement of the Pokemon Go Plus. And the Pokemon Go Plus was a little badge-type device, which you could also wear as wear it around a bracelet or on your belt or on a keychain or something.
Well, if you wanted to look extra cool that day.
Yeah, and the idea is when you're playing Pokemon Go, the thing would flash if there's a Pokemon nearby, I believe, and you would press a button on it and it would catch the Pokemon, throw the Pokeballs at the thing, and it would vibrate to say if it's picked up the Pokemon or not.
Basically, vibrating Pokedildo, got it.
By taking all the fun out of Pokemon, you could make Pokemon Go even easier. And basically, because of the price of the bloody things as well, I think you could cheat your way into victory by spending money. It was basically a pay-to-win system for Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
The Pokemon Go Plus has been announced.
What?
Plus, spelt plus, and plus as in the plus symbol.
What?
Yep. And this will not only...
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, what the actual... What?
It doesn't really matter, but it's another device that looks exactly the same as the old one.
This is what causes the downfall of civilization.
No. Hold on. This thing, it looks like the old device. It works like the old device. It connects to Pokemon Go.
Is it just the same device?
No, because it also has different functionality for Pokemon Sleep, a brand new upcoming game that will apparently work when you sleep. Now, I don't know how that happens. There are mobile games that gamify your sleep tracking.
You've got to do, right, it requires some kind of plethysmography, which is kind of essentially a body sensor. So what you've got to do is ram a Pokeball up your ass.
I don't think it's like that.
Are
I think
bringing
it's
the
more,
heartbeat sensor back for this one as it, well?
It's more sleep
you
tracking.
You can do that at the same time, mate, actually. You've got quite a good pulse just up your ass.
If I was to guess, it'd be more sleep tracking along the lines of, say, your Samsung phone does with Samsung Health, or a Fitbit does. If you wear your Fitbit, it will tell you when you're sleeping, how you rested, all this kind of stuff.
Where you've got to put it.
And I'm assuming that the device may be a monitor type thing, whereas Pokemon Sleep would be more a, you've not used your phone in this long, I'm assuming you're asleep between this time and this time. My phone does it. It'll go, hey, you edited the podcast last night. Did you go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and wake up at six? I'm like, shut up, phone, and get on to work. But yeah, there's meant to be a new game called Pokemon Sleep that will, and I quote here, turn sleeping into entertainment by having a player's time spent sleeping and the time they wake up affect gameplay.
No.
And it allows you to wake up with Pokemon every morning, assumedly turning over and going, oh, what did I do last night?
it's
Jigglypuff. Christ.
I've woke up with some right Snorlaxes in my time.
Bet you have, mate.
Oh, no, it's epic.
My Squirtle hasn't achieved its final form.
Oh, dear.
Oh, such wholesome family entertainment.
Is that an Ekans in your pocket? Are you just pleased to see me?
Both.
That's all the games.
We managed
and stuff.
To make weird Pokemon even weirder. Anyway, right.
Sexy Pokemon.
Sexy, weird, sleepy Pokemon.
So those are the titles that were announced, but also there's going to be a Pokemon Sword and Shield Direct. Pokemon Sword and Shield is the upcoming Switch game, which we spoke about a little while ago. The Direct will be on the 5th of June at 1400 hours British summer time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be 15 minutes long and focus solely on information from Sword and Shield.
Man, if you Google ugly Pokemon,
oh no,
it goes very, very pornographic very quickly.
Does it?
Yes.
Are you on DeviantArt again?
No, I'm on Google.
I'm worried that you're now going to be fixated on images of dirty Pokemon.
Dirty Pokemon.
For the rest of the show, maybe the night, maybe a few weeks.
Yeah, which as we've learned from past experiences, when you found something on the internet, and especially image-based,
we lost you. Yeah.
It's just like, how deep does the rabbit hole go? Actually, that's probably not the best metaphor.
Not that's
in this
phrasing,
situation.
Mate, phrasing. Yeah.
But, oh my God.
No.
Christ. Dad, right, I'm loading up the agenda
look
again.
Away from the internet. Do not stare directly into the dark holes of the internet. It's bad for your soul.
Or a Snorlax.
Dark holes.
Dark hole. Lovely. Cool. Right. Are we done with Pokemans now?
We are done with Pokemans. I told you, quick and painless, like a Band-Aid.
Right, I tell you what wasn't quick and painless.
Wow.
The Death Stranding trailer. What the... What?
Yeah, there's a deep dive trailer for Death Stranding. If you didn't know this, I don't know how you didn't know this, because everyone's bloody covering it. And we got a 15-minute video, I think it was, on Death Stranding. A giant trailer.
I had little to no idea what the hell was going on there. I don't know why all of a sudden it turned into a third person's No Man's Sky-a-thon at the beginning, where you're just shoving stuff in your backpack like some kind of demented idiot.
So if you don't know Death Stranding, this is the new game from Hideo Kojima, since he's gone off and formed his new studio, Kojima Productions. And the game stars Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen, Troy Baker, Guillermo del Toro, and others whose names escape me off the top of my head.
Just before we go too much further as well, I just wanted to say Mr. Pete Lindsell did request that we talked about that on this week's show. I said that would probably be the case, and
you're proving that.
Oh, well, now he's requested
case, but...
it. I think we shouldn't. Well, I like to buck the trend.
Okay, that's it. Let's move on then. No,
right, more Pokemon.
just saying, because, yeah, I did put a bit of a shout-out today, and that was one of the things requested to be spoken about. But hey.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, so you guys watched the trailer. I watched the trailer. There was also a Japanese trailer, apparently, that had more footage in it. If that wasn't... 15 minutes of footage wasn't enough.
Do you know what I've learned about Hideo Kojima trailers?
He's
it
nuts.
Doesn't actually matter what language it's in.
No, it probably
it's
doesn't.
Still bonkers.
Yeah.
Still insane.
But what we did learn from the trailer, amongst other things, is the release date of the game, which is going to be the 8th of November 2019 on PlayStation 4. Whether that gets a PS5 release later on or some kind of update for backwards compatibility, that's to be seen or heard of later. But based on the actual trailer, what are your thoughts so far?
I'm just glad there's a character called Die Hard Man.
I don't know about you, but this very it very neatly summed up Hideo Kojima to me. Like it was like everything I love and thoroughly get turned off by Hideo Kojima games. Like
it's a little difficult to tell. It seems like there's some quite interesting like traveling between dimensions using the power of your magic backpack. Basically, what was the name of that show where he had a magic torch?
Oh,
Jamie's magic torch.
I think it's actually that guy. I think it's a dramatization of that kid's TV series.
Norman Reedus is Jamie.
Yep.
Well, yeah, like it does seem to be that you're getting dragged to Hades, where the enemies, if I'm reading this correctly, because I didn't hear this in the trailer or I didn't clock what they were saying, but other people were saying that the word that the enemies referred to as was homo demons.
Yes, that is correct. As in homo sapiens.
I get that, but also, I don't know. Like, not sure if that is great.
No, I'm going to dig a bit deeper in this, Tim. Continuing through your train of thought here.
Yeah, thanks for handing me the shovel. Like, I just...
You're the one who started digging.
Well, no, look... I
thought you needed a hand there.
I think we have to mention that. I don't think we can get past that word. Like, there were people reacting to that word badly already on Twitter and stuff, and I'm not sure that I'm totally against them going, hang on a second, are you saying that that's really the name kind of thing? It wasn't necessarily saying anything other than that, but yeah...
I think it's probably Hideo Kojima wanting to kind of like imply they're like the next evolution of humanity or something. I don't like know. It's Kojima.
Doesn't homo just mean man?
Yes. I know. But
I'm sure that homo sapiens are people. I'm not judging.
It's not that it's an incorrect application of the word. It's that I can see that term getting used and abused in the possibly wrong way.
I could see it getting used incorrectly online, but at the same time, I don't, it's not used in malicious intent from the creator. So I don't know.
I'm still not 100% sure why I've got a baby strapped to my chest. This is Parenting Simulator 4000 Extreme Edition.
Yeah, so getting past the Twitter outrage.
Saying just not weaponizing idiots is a good thing, and I'm not sure handing them that sort of tool is a good idea. That's the only thing I'll say in the matter. Anyway.
Surely we hit them. Yeah. We just hit the idiots until they stop being idiots.
There's a very good chance you'll make them more of an idiot.
Just milkshake them. It's fine.
I didn't think of this. Anyway, the baby thing. So the baby's come up a few times in the baby in the pod. Yes. We've seen Norman Reedus with the baby. We've seen Guillermo del Toro with the baby. Now we see Mad Mikkelsen with the baby. The baby pod, as it's called, spelt BB, bridge baby pod, contains a bridge baby. And that the bridge baby, I believe, if I'm getting this right, comes from the other dimension and is used as a link between the dimensions, so you can sense the enemy homo demons.
But if the homo demons are homo demons, how did they have a baby?
Really? No? You went there previous discussion.
Come on, that is a redo of a joke from Friends, which in itself was very culturally insensitive in this current day.
Could you be any more culturally insensitive?
It was a different time. Look, no, but yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily the mechanic that is in play. There is evidence to back that up, and so that's possibly within chat. The other thing I heard people talking about is that there's a mechanic where the rain does some sort of time
ages you.
Damage
yeah.
to you, yeah, kind of ages you. So is the baby a counteractive measure towards not aging or something, possibly?
Or is actually the whole purpose of the game, you can't let any rain get on the baby because then it'll turn into a teenager.
And then it'll
just spend the whole game going, hate you.
I'm guessing you're not feeding off the baby.
No.
I mean, you plug something into
like
the baby.
It wouldn't be the right message they're going for with the central core of the game and reconnecting humanity and all that type of stuff.
I just kind of feel it's Kojima being weird for the sake of being weird rather than actually...
It's one of those things where will you ever get satisfactory explanations for anything they've already showed us despite the 40 hours of cutscenes?
Yes, by playing it through and then watching subsequent videos where other people have figured it all out and then told you. That's usually how I figure these things out. People smarter than I have more time on their hands go and do it for me and then make videos. But yeah, the baby thing. I theorize the whole...
The baby.
I theorized that the baby was used as some way of keeping you young before, because we saw the aging rain. We saw it age a soldier in a previous video, and then Norman Reedus got a little bit on his hand, and his hand started to wrinkle in that one area. And then we've seen this again with the birds just falling out of the sky and aging to death. So, maybe that comes into play as well. But
also, I haven't seen anyone talk about this, yeah? But the main character, Norman Reedus, his name... is literally Bridges.
Yeah.
Isn't that a little on the nose for someone whose literal job it is to build bridges?
His first name is Jeff.
It's not Jeff.
No. His first name is also Bridges.
Bridges. Porter Bridges.
Bridges.
Sam Porter Bridges, which is weird because he ports things around.
But no, he seems to be like going around and reconnecting society. Like, it seems to be the major task that he's been given.
He's on a mission to rebuild America.
And stuff. Yeah. But, well, the implication was rebuilding America to help save the world, basically.
Kind of thing, no?
Like
The Division.
Because, well, humanity's under threat and something, whatever.
Is probably. It? It looked all right when I watched the video.
Yeah, it looked fine to me.
It's doing all right. So there's some dudes in masks running around and beating people up, and then there was some ghosty dudes floating around. And
the Oval Office has turned into an intensive care unit for some reason. I don't know.
Donald Trump's still being in power.
The one thing that we did get from the gameplay so far is there does seem to be some sneaky sections, which you would expect where you're kind of, you know, sneaking around enemy encampments and kind of getting past people and stuff like that. But then
and you'd also
seems
expect
to be...
from the creator of Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, which you'd expect, exactly. But there does seem to be a heavier emphasis on evasion of combat and, you know, just dwindling down numbers or getting a few people, but also just running away from the people that are actually trying to hurt you, basically.
Well, a bit of me does wonder, right, if we're going to be... This is going to be like Metal Gear Solid 4, where there's about 3 minutes of gameplay interspersed between 72 hours of cutscenes.
No, it's a Hideo Kojima game. That's what's happening. That's why they've got, you know, all the top quality action thing. The thing I want to know, though, is it going to make a bit more cohesive sense?
No.
Or is it going to go totally off the charts in the other direction? And which one of those do I actually want? Like, I really don't know. You know what I mean? Like, seeing Hideo Kojima completely, like, you know, non-fixed down by the whole Konami thing and just having the complete freedom, I don't know if that's going to make his games better or worse. I'm very interested to see how that comes out.
I'm exactly the same train of thought, Tim, that it might not be a good thing that he's been cut loose. It might just be a rambling, interactive stream of consciousness.
I thought that for a while, but then I remembered, like, the end year before Metal Gear Solid 5 came out, and the kind of shambles that was, like, they released the part of the game first and sold it to you for 20-35 quid, and then released the full game after, which wasn't finished, with the hopes of putting in the ending, which didn't happen. You know, all that kind of stuff is gone. But I thought maybe Konami won't be able to rein him in. But in that time, he's managed to put a decent game in a lot shorter time than he did with Metal Gear Solid 5 that has a definitive date to it and looks amazing.
Well, it has a date at the moment.
The other thing I think what is actually healthy for from both sides of the relationship in terms of Konami and him is the fact that from some reports I've heard and some things possibly in the cases that he often was looking to step away from Metal Gear or looking to hand it off to other people, but then got too obsessed with going back and fiddling with things and going too hands on himself. So having a complete, you know, divorcing from that and actually being able to move on to something else and actually let his creativity flourish in, you know, something that wouldn't have worked in the Metal Gear universe, that's actually an interesting prospect in itself, at least.
But there is a lot of very strange stuff going on in this trailer.
There is. Yes. What's your favourite bit, Dan? You want to tell us something strange?
My favourite bit is where there's a dude who's got a mask, and then he takes the mask off
to reveal another mask.
Yeah, that's the old triple return two mask Kane trick from WWE there, I think you'll find.
What was your favourite moment then, Carl Mann?
Oh, my favourite bit. I quite like the creepiness of Mads Mikkelsen, but I think I'll have to go for the... Was it World War II era soldiers they were kind of bringing back
in
the
black goop? World War One
era soldiers that they were bringing back in the black goop, and I want to know more about what's going on there, because that really tickled my fancy.
I just love the fact there's someone called Die Hard Man.
Bruce Willis.
I just love it. It's like
that's what
it's
they
like
call the Bruce Willis in Japan.
If Bruce Willis was a bad guy in a Mega Man game, it's just amazing. Just amazing.
I like the fact that you have a motorbike, because walking around that whole game looked like it was going to be slow and boring. So motorbikes are welcome. Yay.
Vroom vroom.
Do you remember when they added a motorbike to Zelda?
Also, his magic ladder as well.
Your magic ladder.
Magic ladder.
I love a magic ladder. I'll get one of those installed in my loft next weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, home owning's a blast, I tell you. It's incredible.
So you can take it mountaineering with you, Dan.
Yeah, I could do.
I'll throw this out before we finish up on the topic, but there were a number of additions of this game that were announced. Would you like to know what they are?
Yes, please. Okay, does one of them have a real-life baby with it?
Wait,
almost.
Don't bury the lead.
Okay, right.
There's the standard edition, of course, which is just the regular version of the game. There is the special edition, which comes with a steelbook and a soundtrack, which is... I don't have the UK prices, so $59.99 for the standard, $69.99 for the special edition. A deluxe digital version, which is an all-digital version, which includes various tie-in bonuses for $79.99. And then there's the collector's edition for a nice, cool $199.99. Yes, just $199.99, Dan. And that comes with a life-sized BB, Bridge Baby, pod... pod station and a cargo case and more. But yeah, you get a life-sized model of a baby, and I'm hoping it lights up as well for that price.
On so many levels, that's not cool.
I hope it's got a thumb up as well, like it did in that one video.
Yeah. As long as it's not the creepy doll baby, because there was a creepy doll baby at the end.
Oh god, yeah, they replaced the baby with a creepy doll baby, and Death Stranding, November the 8th, 2019, PlayStation 4. And if we're going by leaks, that was because there were leaks before the stream happened and someone came out with the date. The person who correctly got the date as well also said that this is coming to PC, so we'll have to see if that's a thing later.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that on full spec.
I know, it'd be lovely. It'd be buttery smooth goodness.
Imagine the high fidelity of that baby's ass.
Just think, you can see that winking at you. It's such will be all of the pixels. Yeah, I look forward to asking myself what the f*** is going on at 144 frames a second instead of 30. It's gonna make it all the weirder. It's gonna be lovely. To be honest though, I honestly don't know if I'm gonna pick this up day one.
I'm still on the fence.
Something I might view from afar, I think.
Actually, no, sod it. I'm going for it.
Are you?
I'll get this. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, for one, we need to talk about it on the show. So I'm probably
yeah, but
then,
this is quite true.
My girlfriend, being one of the biggest Walking Dead fans in the world, is a big Norman Reedus fan, so I'd probably have to buy this game anyway.
Fair enough.
Anyway, before we jump to points of interest, we got a couple of updates from previous topics we've been covering. The Sonic movie that was coming out in November, that will now be coming out next year in February the 14th, just in time for Valentine's Day. Take your favorite girl out or guy and see some blue pixelated hedgehogs nicely, smoothly rendered, now with gloves. Yeah.
Now with gloves?
Gloves. They're adding gloves to Sonic by the looks of it.
Right. Right. Well, what about just completely replacing the nightmare
No word
fuel?
On the eyes and teeth or anything. But the,
in fact, all the terrifying bits.
I don't care about his hands.
The director came out and gave us a new date and said something along the lines of no CG artists were harmed in the making of this movie. So
just the audience. They were scarred for life.
Well, there was a lot of focus on, hey, you've changed the date. Is this mean crunch time for poor visual effects artists? So there you go. As well as that, we were talking about the play date, myself and Tim, a little while ago, and we were unsure about the release system for the games. Apparently, the way this works now is for the first 3 months after you own your console, you get a new game each week, and then there's the possibility of expanding that onwards.
Okay, I read up on that, the whole Edge article and stuff, so yeah. I do know more.
Good.
It does have Wi-Fi connection. It has seasons, and you'll have a season of games that you get as the upfront cost, and then there's some hint there'll be further seasons after that, and you can sign up to those for a price thereafter. I believe there's 12 games in the first season.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. That's not bad.
Yeah.
There you go. Right, did you want points of interest?
Yes, please.
Okay, Dan, you've got to take the first one, because you sneakily added this to the agenda without me noticing.
I certainly did. AMD...
I got one of them.
You have. They're sticking it to Intel, it looks like.
Are they?
So Intel have been a bit asleep at the wheel insofar as kind of developing processors goes. Essentially, the past couple of generations of their processors has just been redos of the previous generation, which in itself was a redo of the previous generation before that. So basically, because there's been next to no competition for a long while, they have just stagnated in terms of actually delivering value for money and new features to consumers. But AMD at Computex this past week unveiled their new line of processors, which look like they're going to have the same performance as, well, at least the same performance on single core tests or single core applications as the Intel 9900K, which is the top end desktop class non-enthusiast processor. You can get ones that are far more expensive than that. So that would cost about that 9900K. It costs about 450 quid in the UK at the moment.
Oh, okay.
AMD's processor, which is coming out in July, I believe, will be faster than it in single core and also have much greater multi-core performance, and also won't have all those security vulnerabilities that need patching will slow your processor down that Intel currently has, and it will be approximately half the price.
Oh, I'll take eight.
So that could,
I can't math.
That could really kind of shake things up in the PC gaming space, where you could actually get a really fantastic processor for not very much money. And that will probably help people get more money's worth out of the other components on their PC as well, since it comes with improvements to PCI, which is the kind of the interface you plug graphics cards into, so the data throughput on those is going to be better. It's going to be quite an interesting couple of weeks. So okay. I thought I'd just say that, because that might actually be a big deal for gamers going forward. And especially since if the upcoming generations, like the generation that we're in at the moment, AMD are likely to get some quite big processor wins in the Xbox 2, whatever it is, and the PlayStation 5 going forward. So if that kind of technology is in those systems, then that's quite exciting indeed, because for about the same price, you're going to get a much, much faster processor under the hood of these new consoles, potentially. So that's quite interesting, I thought. An interesting point.
It's weird referring to the fourth Xbox as the Xbox 2.
Yeah. I know, right?
No, that is cool. I'm looking to get rig building closer towards the end of the year. So,
Good man.
If things are cheaper and powerful, I am a happy man. And so is my wallet.
Memory's
wallet
coming
also
down
happy.
In price like gangbusters at the moment. So it's actually not a bad time to be building a PC.
They've stopped doing the cryptocurrencies. So that's working now. Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
Come join me in the PC Master Race. It's lovely here. It's moist and dank.
I'm going to rattle through the rest of these pretty quickish. Right. So there was a blog post from Phil Spencer, Microsoft EVP of Gaming and head of Xbox. He announced that the rumored version of Xbox Game Pass is actually coming to PC, and that the Microsoft Store exclusives are also coming to Steam. He did say a third point as well, that they're going to be making changes to the development tools to allow Xbox games coming to PC to be developed for 32-bit versions of the operating system.
But hang on here. Mm-hmm. You can actually already get some... If you are already subscribed to Xbox Game Pass, you can already get, due to the cross-buy nature of the Microsoft Store, you already get some games on Game Pass already. So if you have an active Game Pass subscription, you've already unlocked on your PC Forza Horizon 4, for example, or Ark Survival Evolved.
They've not gone into major details on how the Game Pass is going to work, but it looks as if it's going to be more elaborate. Not just the Xbox exclusives available through Game Pass and the crossplay, but also other PC titles coming to Game Pass is what I think that signifies. So more like Game Pass on Xbox.
Awesome.
Yeah. Also, speaking about passes, Ubisoft might also have a Ubi Pass or Ubisoft Pass coming in. There was a placeholder image that was leaked on the Ubisoft store. They put it up for testing purposes, I'm assuming, and someone spotted it very sharpish and stuck it on Reset Era. And it looks like we might have a Ubisoft Pass, whatever that is, coming soon. There's some release dates this week. Sea of Solitude, if you remember that game, that is coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and EA Origins on the 5th of July this year. That is a very sexy looking game, so I'm excited for that. Ancestors: Humankind Odyssey, which I didn't even know this game existed, but I'm really happy I found this. That's coming first to PC through the Epic Games Store on the 27th of August, and then coming to PC and Xbox One as digital release at some point in December.
Why are you happy about this particularly?
You're a monkey. And it's an open world survival game, and you're revolving your character. You pick up new traits, and the idea is to become Homo sapien, essentially. Become the missing link.
Unless you become Homo zombie, demon. Whatever it was.
Homo demons.
Yeah.
Homo demon. You could be a Homo demon if evolution goes the wrong way.
I saw that, and I'm very excited about that. That looked really cool. I'm assuming Dan's added this to the agenda as well. Destiny 2's last entry in the Forsaken Annual Pass is releasing on Tuesday, 4th of June, and then I'm assuming 1 month after that, they'll sell a brand new annual pass.
Almost certainly. I'm sure there's going to be Destiny 2 stuff at E3, because it will be Bungie's first showing as a completely independent studio, I believe.
Okay.
Have they definitely got floor space at E3?
Well, I'd imagine they'll find some. They'll probably rock up on Sony's stage
or something like that. No, they've got... Sony don't have a stage.
Sony don't have a stage. That's part of the...
That's an excellent point.
No, I've looked into this, and they've actually taken Ouya's old booth space, which is actually outside, adjacent to the E3 arena.
In the car park opposite.
Yeah, in the car park opposite.
It's like bandits.
It's marvellous.
And then E3, at great expense, will hire giant trucks to park in front of them.
Fantastic.
That was a real thing. Look it up. It was quite petty.
I know.
Right. Also, there's been a delay this week. Sable has been pushed back to a 2020 release.
But I want the Sable biscuits now.
Yeah. What have you written, Dan?
Much
you keep writing things in the agenda
delayed.
When I'm not looking.
What? Oh, that.
Anthem, LOL, WTF, barbecue.
Yes. Anthem got patched again.
Okay. Still
is
Anthem?
Is it fixed yet, Dan?
Hell no.
Can I get it on the PlayStation yet, Dan?
Will it ever be fixed, Dan?
No. I mean, they're apparently the Anthem devs have a live stream later today, which I expect them to get thoroughly crucified at. And they are still due to say something during EA's E3 stuff.
There were quite a few copies in CEX. I believe I can't remember if it was £20 or £30, but either way, I was like, nah.
Both of those are approximately £20 to £30 too much with the game in its current state.
Here's what I suggest going forward. Rather than we give details on the patch notes of Anthem going forward, as a man who has played Anthem and plays Anthem from time to time and at this point has been podcasting for a very long time, and we could probably call her somewhat an expert in video games at this point, Dan. I reckon each time you say Anthem has been patched and then you tell us how much you think it's worth at this point.
Okay, we can do that.
Yep.
Cool. How much is Anthem worth this week, Dan?
Well,
minus £20. Pay me £20 and I'll play it.
I'd say playing Anthem for 4 hours would give you about the same amount of enjoyment as a single Tutti Frutti sweet, so approximately 5p.
Oh, wow, 5p. Okay,
five
so
p's.
Be on the lookout for Anthem for 5p
five
coming
p.
soon. Dan's predicted yeah. it here.
5p.
All right. That's all your points of interest very quickly this week.
Yes, because Tim has a game to speak about. I mean, I actually haven't played much new because I'm just been getting ready for the next season of Destiny, surprise, surprise. But I've been beta testing some fun software, trying to help me to tune cars to make them go vroom vroom a bit more on Project Cars 2.
Okay.
I kind of went off the ball on Project Cars 2 for a while, but actually I've been getting back into it recently. It's actually... it's so user unfriendly, it's unbelievable. But once you actually crack past that, there is a pretty damn fun racing game underneath. So I've been playing that instead of playing the same events in Forza Horizon 4 again and again, which is still a great game, but I did feel I needed a change of driving scenery, as it were.
Yeah, I need to go back
so,
to
yeah.
Forza,
so,
but hey.
Yeah, so that's the app I've been testing is called Racing Sim Tools, and they're just developing kind of a new version of their tuning app at the moment. So I've been testing that out. And it's actually, because I'm quite a nerdy, sciencey person anyway, it's quite cool that it measures all of the ways in which your car is moving and what the grip levels are and what you can do to kind of adjust the aero and actually give you the data to actually make evidence-based changes to the setup of your car, so you can actually really do feel the difference in it. So it's quite fun. I mean, if you're of my kind of persuasion, that is officially fun times. But many of you, I'm sure, are not. I would much rather hear Coleman speak about little friends, dogs,
well,
and cats.
We'll get to that later. I'm more interested.
Can I just applaud you for taking one for the team on that, Coleman?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, we made a joke that should I go for this because no one else has, and I was actually planning to pick this up anyway because I was
Why?
Intrigued. But we'll talk about that later because I want to hear about Tim's game because Tim's got Dan's favourite kind of game.
And we got to talk about VR last week because you weren't here, Dan, but I'm going to talk about VR this week even though you are here because this one's too good to miss. Too
He's out
good
of control.
To miss. Yeah, you know I've been banging on about this game for a while, Blood and Truth.
Literally 2 years.
Tim, to be fair, you bang on about a lot of stuff, mate. I don't know which one it is.
I know. But this one, if anyone's played the Heist, I think it was. Was it the Heist?
London Heist.
London Heist, isn't it?
From Sony London.
From Sony London HQ. That
Not
was on
HQ,
the kind of,
that's different.
Yeah, no, that's the VR Worlds basically had
I have a question.
The original London Heist thing
it's
on it. There was a launch
headquarters
game.
Called THQ HQ.
Sure,
maybe.
Brilliant, good.
Good.
I'm glad
good.
I cleared that up.
Right, it's something where I've interviewed a couple of devs and I've spoken about those interviews, but we didn't actually have the interviews on the show because the audio wasn't really up to it. The couple of times that we had, but
it's
yeah,
knackered.
It's a game that I've been invested and interested in and got to play a couple of early demos of, and I've now got to play through about half the game. It came out on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday or yesterday? I think it was yesterday. But
cool
yeah,
story,
I got,
Tim.
I got to play about half the game, which lasted me about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours maybe.
And yeah, I got to play through the levels that I'd seen in demo, which is quite interesting, and see how they'd come along since that time. And yeah, they had been like really nicely polished to a really high level. For anyone that hasn't heard us talk about it on the show before, or just generally doesn't know, Blood and Truth is a kind of first person perspective VR game in a kind of London gangster family where, yeah, kind of you come back from war because your father's died, and then without giving too much away, some stuff goes down and your family gets in trouble and you've got to kind of come to their rescue a little bit. And yeah, like it's yeah, really interestingly done. Like really, they took a lot of influences from like really big action movies and kind of set pieces of action movies and trying to interweave those big moments into kind of elements of the gameplay and elements of the presentation. And the actors and the visual capturing of the actual motion capture and stuff like that is all really highly done to, you know, really high level, and really looks good and really kind of helps with the immersion of the scene and works really well in VR. It's actually a lot more visually polished than I was expecting as well. Like, it's something I thought that that's something they'd possibly be working on, but it comes across really well.
The couple of screenshots I've seen of it, it does seem to skirt around the uncanny valley a little bit.
Right, but, and I was a bit worried about that, but actually being in the presence of the thing, it doesn't look realistic enough to worry you that much. There's a couple of times when you're like, oh, your eyes are like not reflective enough for someone's eyes. They look really unnatural.
Facial
and weird,
scans kind of, and then like virtual eyes and teeth. That's usually how these things work.
Yeah, and like there's a few things like that look a bit out of place, but generally, and especially when you're in the kind of action moments of doing the kind of gunplay stuff, it's very easy to, you know, not see any of those faults. And there's a couple of things where I had more minor technical issues than actual issues with the game, but I had one minor glitch. But there's a few things that like don't quite work 100% or whatever, but it's really easy to forgive any like misgivings about the game or anything like that, because it's just so much fun. And like this like it's a game that really knows how to get the best advantage out of VR. And okay, like basing it all around the gunplay and the kind of almost I described it as like ultimate time crisis, and it's all almost kind of in that vein. You're moving from one kind of set point to another. You can choose when you move, and you can kind of move back and forth, but if you need to go behind you, it can be awkward sort of thing. But you're kind of just pointing in the direction that you want to go and pressing a move button to go there. You can also press both move buttons at once to like slow time down and get a bit of precision mode.
I have a question.
On certain enemies you need to utilize, and generally is just handy
to deal
with lots of people. Yep.
Are you pressing down both home buttons at this very moment? Because time is seemingly standing still for me at the moment, because we're talking about a VR game.
I had something I wanted to interject, because I'm quite interested in this, because it is Sony London Studio. Yeah. They made The Getaway, which is it's one of my favorite games. I absolutely love that game. And this does look like a kind of spiritual successor to it, even though it's more of a spiritual successor to London Heist, which looks like a spiritual successor to Getaway. But then the thing I found out last week, I found this quite interesting. The renderings of London look amazing from the videos. I don't know how they look in game, but from what you're saying, seemingly look well, really good as well. A lot of those renders in the background are actually taken from the same renders they did for The Getaway.
Oh, really?
Really?
And the reason is they were such high fidelity versions that they did for Getaway that they had to, like, you know, shrink them down and stick them in a PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
But they're still on file. They were using them for The Getaway 3 on the PlayStation 3. So that stuff did get recycled, and I think that's really cool.
But yeah, I mean, London is used as a good backdrop as well, and it's kind of interesting. Like that, one of the early levels that I played in demo, and you see in the early part in the game, and has been banned around a lot, is in a casino, and you're kind of, you know, it's the gangsters' casino, and you're going in and there and messing stuff up. And then there's another one on a kind of a building site that's basically a derelict council estate that's set for demolition, basically. And you can imagine how that one goes down.
Is that where the trailer shot of you jumping off the crane comes from?
Yes, and that
gives me such anxiety.
That bit is awesome. It's really cool. But yeah, like it just all comes together really nicely. Like the presentation, like I actually care a bit about the story kind of thing and how that's going down, and like I feel motivated by it for revenge on the characters that I now want to go kill, and you know, like but yeah, like it's also, as I said, it's the London backdrop's really good, but also it's got a very London grimy soundtrack to it as well, which I personally appreciate, but also I think just suits the setting quite nicely. It's got the real kind of London gangsters and real London accents as well, and they kind of lean very heavily into that in an almost comic fashion. Like I've seen some people describe it as very, you know, Ritchie like, basically.
Yeah, I mean, there is something about the kind of Guy Ritchie gangster style, old Cockney gangster, which is kind of comical in this day and age.
And it's very kind of laughable lock stock, basically, kind of thing. I mean, like, and I think it, yeah, and to a lesser extent, what's the other one? The boxing one.
Snatch.
Snatch. Yeah, like, and you know, like it's very much those two kind of movies and that London East End gangster kind of vibe. But yeah, it just, as I said, everything comes together really nicely. It's something where not only have they learned the lessons of the gunplay and that being the basis, as I said, of the gameplay, everything else around it is like clearly lessons that they've taken and learned from other games and other genres and other things, of things in your environment to mess around with. There should be lots of these and you should have fun doing them. Like there's one point when you're in a DJ booth and you can shoot people, but you can also scratch the record while you're shooting people. And you're like, it's just ridiculous. It's just like, there's a pigeon there. I bet it will let me shoot that pigeon. Oh yeah. Or let me shoot that pigeon, and it disintegrates in a puff of feathers. And
shoot the pigeon.
Yeah, almost anything that you can imagine to like have fun with in the game, they've gone, all right, we've thought of that and we've put it in for you, kind of thing. And it, yeah, like I appreciate that. It works really well. You can tell it's a game made with like affection and a very deep-seated desire for you to have as much fun as possible and crank the maximum amount of fun out of anyone's set situation. The one thing that did definitely change from the early portions and that I talked about like in preview, and is something actually I think I mentioned to them in one of the interview things, and something they changed, but at one point you got the slowdowns in different occasions by like shooting a fire extinguisher or doing something in the environment, but they seem to have shifted that totally away to just doing it on the move buttons, and that being a mechanic that you can kick off at any time. So I think that's better. I think it works better, and it means that you're more in control of it, and there are times when you need it and it still seems to be there for you. And I don't know if they've frigged that a little bit to make that the situation, because there's certain enemies that you really need that skill to deal with, and it seems to be on a bit of a cooldown, but it seems to be fairly readily available. As I said, that's just to me a sign of them going, okay, what's the most fun thing we can do here? That's cool and that works well, but what's actually the funnest way of implementing that thing? And I think that's an ethos that plays throughout the game, and that comes across, and it just ends up being a really fun game. So yeah, I'm really glad it seems to have been given enough time to bake in the oven and come out to a high standard. It's kind of setting a new benchmark for like game presentation and what you can do in VR and how a VR game can be put together well, basically. Some people still don't like the fact that you only see your hands and you don't see any part of your body.
That was going to be my question. Are you actually a pair of disembodied hands looking for some arms?
Disembodied hands and the gun. Right. But you can also see where your holsters are, where you can put your two pistols either side of your waist. And then you've got two large weapons on your back that you can reach up for. And then all your ammo is on the front of your chest. So you can, even when you're holding like two pistols, you can reach for it with one hand and put it in the other. It's also, because you press the same button to pick up the ammo though, it's very easy to almost accidentally shoot yourself while picking up ammo.
Okay. Couple of questions. So first of all, your character, are you a proper Cockney landing geezer?
Well, yeah, you're part of this gangster family, but basically your dad's a kind of crime lordy type thing, but not like too huge a level, just, you know, nice, comfortable family business kind of level.
Okay.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. And but you are actually on tour and have been in the army for some time by the sounds of things type thing. But you're called back from being away because your father's died, basically.
Oh, okay. That's not good.
And are you now taking on the family business?
Well, as I said, without giving too much away, there's some stuff going on and you end up having to come to the rescue and get a bit of revenge and all that type of stuff. So, okay. Yeah, without giving story stuff away, basically.
So now I know I get to live out my fancies of being a cheeky Cockney landing geezer.
Yes.
How much am I going to be spending on this little game? Like
$34.99. I've played the first like 9 or 10 levels, and I think there's 19 levels overall. And I expect some of those later levels to be a bit longer than the first levels, possibly. But some of those bits are like not necessarily bits where you're doing shooting stuff, possibly.
Okay.
But as I said, that lasted me 3 to 4 hours, and I expect a similar amount of time, if not more, out of the second half of it, sort of thing. But then they're also touting the fact that there'll be like time attacks and other stuff that they'll be adding to the game as they go as well, basically. But yeah, like for $34.99, I think that seems to be the set price for a full game now on VR. That seems to be the price point people are aiming for. So I'm glad they went for that price. But it feels like you're getting a very well polished product for that price, kind of thing, in terms of a VR product, in terms of comparison to similar products that you've got in the past. In terms of, you know, Astrobot was like the definition of here's what you do with a platformer. This is the definition of here's how you make a good action game or shooting game in VR, basically, kind of thing. It's that level. Kind of idea.
Okay. Well, do you know what else you can buy for $34.99 this week?
What else can you buy for $34.99 this week? Please tell me.
It's a little game called Little Friends, Dogs and Cats on the Nintendo Switch.
Oh. God. Why?
Why are you not
happy
with this?
Why did you do this to yourself?
So this is kind of filling in a void that Nintendo aren't really making a lot of the games that a lot of people are shouting out for. So we don't have Banjo and Kazooie anymore, even though that's a rare thing, but more predominantly known with Nintendo. So Yooka-Laylee was built. We don't have F-Zero X anymore or F-Zero series anymore. So someone made that Switch hover cut, although that came out in different things.
White
was power. It RX? Well, yeah, our Wipeout as well. They don't really make Wipeout anymore. They updated the old versions from the PS3, but yeah. Anyway, the point is, if you stop making beloved games, then people will go out and make those games for you, it turns out. And no different with Nintendogs and Nintendcats, I believe they did an update at some point.
Right, okay.
Now, I will say...
Nintendcats did not make sense as a name. Anyway, right.
No, it didn't.
I will say, I think it was called Nintendogs and Cats or something.
Yes,
like that.
I think it was.
Yeah. I have seen Nintendogs. I've seen friends play Nintendogs. I have never played Nintendogs. And the reason being was simply this. They never brought out a Basset Hound Nintendogs. So I never wanted to put down money for it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got standards.
There you go. So Little Friends, Dogs and Cats. I spoke about this. They had it at EGX Rezzed. I had a quick go on it. Like, I can see the appeal of these games.
And you got your dog deleted, as you previously mentioned.
I got my dog deleted, which I was really upset by. And so this game, it kind of harkens on from the Nintendogs formula. You have a virtual pet, which, you know, not just Nintendogs, that's existed long before. And all stuff that I've never really been able to get into before. So this is a fairly new experience for me. Closest I've ever been, Chao Garden, Sonic Adventure, Dreamcast. There you go.
Did you never have what's the name?
Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi.
No, Rich Kids had that. I had a Chinese knockoff that never worked.
You had a goldfish from a fair that you just kept in a plastic bag and wandered around with. That was your Tamagotchi, wasn't
I
it?
I had a goldfish that probably lasted me about 15 years until I realised that my mum had been swapping out goldfish every time it died.
That old chestnut. Yeah. Do you notice it change in size?
Who's getting bigger?
Oh, it got smaller.
We're not feeding him enough. He got very small. Oh, you're overfeeding him. He's got very big. Oh, look, the diet's worked. Anyway. So, little friends, dogs and cats. This is from Sold Out Games, which I will preempt. We know people at Sold Out Games, so you know, take that with what you will. There is no influence into my choice into this game, but hey.
Do you have little friends?
I have little friends at Sold Out.
Good for you. Are they furry as well?
We won't divulge in their personal lives outside of
work.
What people, no kink shaming is
to
be had here.
Inside of work's fair game.
At BRB UK. Yeah, if you want to kink, if you want to be kinky at work, that's fine. I think.
Wow,
I'm going to HR tomorrow. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah,
can I talk about the game?
Yes, you bloody are, mate.
I
can
go on sidetracks here. So the premise of the game is you have six different breeds of dogs to pick from, which initially it started off, it gave me three different dogs and went, you can pick one of these. And I went, I don't want any of these dogs. And then I found out there was a little search option. It would go, what breed do you want? What sex do you want? I was like, I want a boy. I want a German Shepherd. Gimme. And it gave me a little puppy German Shepherd, which I've called Jet. The cats come in later because cats are rubbish, and you've got to get there's leveling
cats
up.
Cats are not rubbish
in comparison to dogs. The idea of this, where the cats come in, is you have to level up with your companion by playing with your dog, games, feeding it, looking after it, and you level up as a player. If you get to level 15, then you unlock cats, which I think there are only three breeds, not six like there is with the dogs. I'm assuming there's going to be updates to this game to bring in new breeds and stuff, which I really hope to. Basset Hound, please. This game is exactly as you think it is. It is a pet simulator. You have a pet, you feed your pet, you play with your pet, you wash your pet, you take care of a pet. You can also dress up a pet, which I really like as well.
A cat will rip your arm off if you do that.
I've got a problem.
Okay.
Not a question.
Right? Related to this game or
yes.
Just more generally?
No, I wouldn't just spark up with a random problem with this. Yeah. You can't pet your pet, though.
You can sort of pet your pet. I mean, you stroke your pet. You scratch it.
Can you?
That's petting a pet.
You give it scritches. I was doing this on the tube. I look like an absolute scary person.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're a good boy.
Pretty much. I will say as well, this game is made for Joy-Cons. You're meant to throw frisbees, balls, pet, scratch, all that kind of stuff. I've been playing this on handheld mostly, so it's all touchscreen stuff for the interaction with the animal, which isn't as fun.
Who's a good boy, Ned? Who's a good boy?
It isn't as fun for me, you're just rubbing a screen, basically, and there are some pervy DS
There are worse things to be rubbing in public, to be
anyway,
fair.
Anyway. God damn it, Dan.
It was on as his well crutch as leveling- at the time, that's the problem, though.
Yeah.
As well as leveling up to unlock cat breeds, there is also, you can unlock other additional functions for the game, so it's other toys, other implements to take care of them, also currencies which you can use to buy food and stuff for them. But the big thing on this game is you can get clothes for your animal. And I am a person in real life, I really don't like when people dress up their animals. I'm like,
I'm with you on that, mate.
Unless it's a Sphinx cat, then yes, get a little jumper or something. That cat's cold. But anything else, they've got their own coats. They're good. They don't need shoes. They don't need coats. They're all good. They definitely don't need wraparound sunglasses on their heads. Now, when it's a virtual dog, yes, I am buying clothes for my dog. I am getting him cool little shoes. I am getting him... My dog currently wears an Argyle sweater with a little tie because he's very styling and profiling little Gemma Shepherd.
Really? Did you just say that without a hint of irony?
What, styling and profiling?
Mm-hmm.
Not even with irony, with gusto.
For shame.
Yeah. So... the thing I kind of bring up was, without having things to compare this to, I I've seen a lot of people complain that it's not as feature heavy as some of the other virtual pet games. Again, I don't really know. If you have young kids, I can see them enjoying this. I mean, my old flatmate's daughter, she used to play a game on the Kinect called the one with the tiger, little tiger cubs and lion cubs and stuff. No,
yeah, Connectimals.
Connectimals. Yeah. She used to play that game and love it. Like, she talked to it and she's imaginary playing with the animal and stuff. And
I had a freaky little iPet.
Yeah,
that good for you, Tim.
Weird. Tim has an iPet.
There wasn't one person, and John Brady is amongst the number of people that I introduced to my iPad. There wasn't one person amongst all my friends and other people that I introduced to the iPad that didn't try, at least try, and stick their finger up its bum.
Oh, good.
It's a
puppet, what is that all about?
It's
a puppet.
I've not tried that with a dog, I've got to admit.
What, shoving your hand up a dog?
Yeah.
Right, nice.
I'm tempted to get a couple of copies, because I've... No, shut up. So with this game, playing it myself, yeah, it's a nice little time waster for myself on the tube, although I do look like a
freak
man-child, we'll say.
Right.
I look like a man-child anyway, let's admit it. I've got the head of a baby with a beard. But I'm tempted. I've got friends.
Hang on, does that mean we're going to see Tim toting you about... When Death Stranding comes out, there's going to be a Tim and Coleman cosplay where Tim's lugging you about strapped to his front. Looking for imaginary scary things.
Thanks for ruining our cosplay, Dan.
That's all right.
Giving away our
secret.
Sorry,
buddy. I didn't mean to.
We
I'm
were a shoo-in to win the cosplay competition at Comic-Con. Yeah, good. Okay.
Why not?
But yeah, what I'm saying is I've got friends who have got kids and they have Switches and they play a more tamer game to what I play, and I'm tempted to pick up a few copies of this just to take them around there and let them enjoy, because this is it seems like a really good game for kids, and especially with the motion controls with the Joy-Cons, it looks like it's enough to keep them entertained and moving around as well, which is good. But yeah, I like it. It's little friends. Dogs and cats, if you like pet games, then you could do a lot worse than Little Friends, Dogs and Cats.
But if you like games, could you do a lot better, lad? I think is the question.
Okay, there's a game called Days Gone. I've not spoken about it much, but you get to ride around on a motorbike and basically be Norman Reedus in The Walking Dead and shoot zombies with a crossbow and then go take the bolt back. And there's a big zombie horde and stuff. No zombie dogs and cats in this game. A bit upset about that. Maybe they'll patch it in. I don't want to put ideas into the developers' heads. They should come up with these ideas on their own.
You just want an excuse to shoot a dog, don't you?
But if I do see a zombie, a dog or cat in this game, then, I think some royalties need to be paid to me. Anyway. Little Friends, Dogs and Cats.
What?
It's not Days Gone.
What the hell? That's several minutes of my life I'm never getting back, FYI.
You wait till I do the 24-hour live stream for Extra Life of Little Pets.
God.
Just petting a dog for 24 hours.
Just scratching it. Just wearing a hole in the screen.
I won't say much more than this, but just, I will talk about it more maybe next week as it's not a rush. But I have been playing and enjoying Rage 2 so far as well.
Enjoying, you say?
Yeah, I quite like it. It is what it is, but I quite like what it is.
Well, I think for between me and Tim, that's two for two for mediocrely reviewed games that we're enjoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't write them off just because they get mediocre reviews is probably the lesson there.
If you've only got a few tricks, but you're really good at them tricks, then, there's a good game to be had there.
Yeah, or you're David Blaine, one of the two.
Not every open world game has to be a Red Dead Redemption 2.
No.
We've got Red Dead Redemption 2, it's fine.
There were a lot of copies in that in CEX as well, I was surprised. That was £20. Yeah.
Blimey.
They just did a half-price sale on that on the PlayStation as well.
Probably why. I was tempted to pick one up for that price, but
I think you should. It's
anyway,
a very good game.
I can't help but notice that the time bar on my recording says 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Oh,
yeah,
my
I know,
God,
but I'm trying to get you two to play Red Dead Redemption 2 finally. So, swings and roundabouts.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
like it's the summer of 2018.
Yes, we've got some feedbacks and shout-outs and things.
Well, let's do the feedbacks and shout-outs and remind you about Tuesday being Tuesday. Destiny 2 update day, FYI, Tim.
Well, you can stay at home and play Destiny 2, Dan, but for other more social
Same as
people,
every other evening, that's what I'll do.
For anyone who doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston.
And you do.
This Tuesday, the 4th of June, we are doing an event for a game called Civilization. Now, this is
Never heard
not
of it.
The Way. Game based on the video game, just for clarity.
Right.
But
right.
It is very similar in terms of theme and context. But it's a up to, game, I think, game from 2 to 7 players. It's an area conquest, conquering the world while, gathering resources and all that type of stuff. It's supposed to be very good. It's been around since the 80s. It's another kind of classic-y one that we're bringing in. This is one I know a lot of people gravitate towards, like Seven Wonders and the other Civilization game based on the video game that we've already got there. This looks very much in that ilk, and so I think it's going to be popular with people. It is very long, so we'll be playing like smaller taster games of it, but there are versions of the rules for that, basically, so it should be okay. Anyone that doesn't know, you can come along, play the feature game in the evening, and then be in with a chance to win a copy of that game at the end of the night. We give away a new game every week. And we've got some awesome games coming up, and this is another one that I think is going to go down really well. Really highly rated on Board Game Geek. Should be a really good game and make a really good prize. For anyone that wants more details, you can check the top left-hand corner of BigRedBarrel.com, where the post has actually been updated on time this week. So the information will be there by the time you hear this podcast, because it is there already.
Huzzah!
And also, if you want or don't want to come to BigRedBarrel.com for any reason, you don't like the site for some reason, I don't know.
Don't scare them away.
Jesus.
You can also join our meetup group on meetup.com, search for Tabletop Tuesday, and join the over 1,750 people that have joined us there, too.
You and your humble bragging.
Mm-hmm, Tabletop Tuesday on the 4th of June at the Loading Bar in Dalston, London. Be there on the 4th of June, and then you can partake in Tabletop Tuesday for Saddlers the Game, but not that game.
Okay, you run a weird gamut there between Davros from Doctor Who and that bloke who does the announcements on X Factor.
One other thing I forgot to mention, I have got it in the post, but also we'll be kicking off from this Tuesday, and then every first Tuesday of the month thereafter, we will also be doing competitions for a game called Wibble Plus Plus, another very highly rated game on Board Game Geek.
Is that like the Pokemon Go Plus Plus?
Well, no, it's the reverse. It's lots of games in one little pack of cards, basically.
Gotcha.
And the creator of that game will be on hand to run those competitions, and we'll be doing prizes and extra stuffs on the night, and that will be kicking off, as I said, every first Tuesday of the month for the rest of the year.
Huzzah!
So we've got shout outs from people on Twitter, just Twitter this week. If you want to go and give us your sixpence, how do you say that? If you want to go give us your thoughts, go do so on Big Red. Shut up. At Big Red Barrel on Twitter, facebook.com/Big Red Barrel on Facebook, bigredbarrel.com, obviously. And then other things such as Discord, we're on there, and MySpace, Bebo, I believe we're on there as well.
We've got a BBS.
Yeah, BBS. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yep.
And we're also, there's all those ways, but you can give us some lovely feedback or you can interact with the show, such as these lovely people have done so. So
indeed.
On Twitter, thank you to Jack's Champion. In regards to last week when me and Tim were discussing every single currently confirmed video game, TV show, and movie in development, he said he wanted to see a Skyrim TV show to replace Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Not a bad show.
And also, one for you, Dan, he wants a Destiny movie.
Dragon show.
Yeah, he does.
I could see that being a decent series of movies.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's enough movies in the modern times that have actually slightly lifted some visual design cues from Destiny.
Dan, there's a problem, though.
What?
Well, to make a movie, you need a story.
They patched one in.
Yeah, they did patch one in.
Really?
Yeah, you're about 3 years too late for that joke, mate.
Yeah, but thanks, mate. That's, yes, they have patched one in. To be fair, it only took 3.5 years, so we go.
It's fine. Richard Kirk, he wants to see movies for Stratego, Game of Life, Settlers of Catan, and Buckaroo, so all board games.
Buckaroo.
Mousetrap. Yeah. Well, actually, no, there was a film. Mousetrap film, wasn't there?
There was a Mousetrap TV show.
Play. Yeah.
Do you remember
Look
the mouse
at you being all cultural, Timothy.
That's good. It's good.
Very good.
At Richard Kirk on Twitter, if you want to read his reasonings for those shows, because they are very funny. Will Driver, he got in contact to say that he was sorry for spoiling Game of Thrones for Tim.
To be fair, he was the third person in line spoiling it, so I was less angry with him. That's fine. You're okay. Oh, you're off the hook, okay. Will.
All right. Well, you're allowed to listen now, Will. Damn it. How's he going to know? Spencer H, he found out Tim's dark secret.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he did.
He tweeted out to say... He tweeted out to say, show us our notification that popped up on his PlayStation last week saying, Tim is playing PlayStation VR for the first time. You're a big phony.
No, yeah, it said that to me. I'm like, what? Like, hey, it's not the first time this week. What the flip are you talking about? Yeah, I had no idea what was going on with that.
Well, now me and Dan know that you're a phony. We will carry
big
on.
Phony.
Yeah.
The big phony. Why do we even have a VR podcast? Ian Alexander Crane, he recommends Dauntless, which Dan was talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah, that looks good. It's on PlayStation now.
It's and a I hear, thing. It is a I, thing.
I hear there is a larger group of people that are in clans that are cross-platform than there is just straight platform. So that's nice. Velvet Thunder recommends Observation, which I believe that's the AI game.
I really do want to check that out at some point when I've got some free time.
We were talking about that for the PlayStation State of Play when they were showing that off a little while ago. That does look really interesting. I just
it's supposed to be very good. I heard lots of people say they can't really talk about it properly without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
So just go play it. It's excellent. But yeah.
Okay. And Norman was here. So if you want to give
He was here.
Find us on the social medias and on the website, and then you can give us some feedback. You can say hi, or you can interact with the show in the things that we've been talking this week. We didn't really set a question this week. Tell us dark Pokemon facts, and then I'll read them to Dan.
Oh, yes.
Yes, please.
We want real and fake Pokemon facts to...
One real, one fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Bring
That'll
it on.
Work. Nice.
Bring it on.
Nice.
We'll serve them up to him and see if he gets it the right way around.
Well, that was a thing.
Yeah.
I thought so.
I thought so too.
Yes, I thought so too. But you know, I also think I'm hungry and I want to have my dinner. That's what I think. So we're going to end the show. So thank you ever so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen, if indeed you still are. And we'll be back next week with yet another show. But in the meantime, if you want to come and say hello, make sure you head on over.
We've got to do this again!
Yes, Tim. Don't, mate, I'm no more chuffed about it than you are, buddy, to be fair. So another hour of my life listening to VR. Great. Love it. Love it.
I picked up a couple of VR games for next week.
Oh, great. We can have a big VR.
Right, that's it. Show's over. head on over to www.bigredbarrel.com. Say hello to us on Twitter at Big Red Barrel or the Facebook at / Big Red Barrel, I suppose. And I believe we have a little bit of a bootleg Discord link in the form of bit.ly/discordbrb or brb discord. I can't remember which way around it is, but pop along there and say hello and we'll chat and stuff. It'll be great.
Why not?
Yes. And that's your lot. So without further ado, I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I've been Coleman.
Yes, you have. Good. Time to go, chaps. Time to go.
We is done.
All right. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
Hit that desk bell really hard. Now my hand hurts.